Kathleen.
Oh my goodness, guys. I cannot believe that this tiny little creature has brought so much joy and love into my life.
Oh, really?
And my friend Pam once said to somebody who was a parent, well, you know, having a dog is a lot like having a baby. It brings you so much joy and love. And that person, like, didn't receive it well. So I almost want to say that I'm, like, in baby training, keeping this little animal alive. And in just 1 week, we are so freaking in love with her.
Congratulations.
What's the cutest thing she's done so far?
Oh, my goodness. Well, we let her into our bedroom last night for the first time to sleep in bed with us because we were afraid that she was so tiny we were going to crush her in our sea of duvets. And this morning, she jumped up sort of as I was getting awake for work. And I open my eyes and I see she has something dangling from her mouth. And I went, and I jumped out of bed and I flipped the lights on. And she just had one of her toy mice.
Aww.
But living in an apartment in a city, having a real mouse in your mouth wouldn't be out of the question.
No, of course
it's like
not.
A real possibility.
And she would have brought it to you.
And she would have brought it to us.
That would mean she loves you, though.
Yeah.
Thank you for my dead mouse.
Thank you for feeding me.
Thank you. Aww. So, Bethany, you and your kitties are going to be on a journey pretty soon.
We are. I've been evicted from my apartment.
Oh, gosh.
I'm able to say that now without crying.
Yeah. I mean, because your apartment is fabulous.
It's been my dream apartment, and I loved it so much. I was there for 2.5 years. I've always paid my rent on time. I've been a model tenant.
You are a dream tenant.
I've never had any complaints against me. And actually, I was sort of the unofficial caretaker of the place because I would kind of report back to our landlords, like if any light bulbs were out or anything needed to be fixed. But my landlord sold it to a larger company, and then that larger company flipped it and sold it to another company. And so this new company is forcing me out. And so they gave me... they called me on Friday. Actually, they served me papers. The lawyer came to my door and served me papers.
Did they do it like they do in the movies? You've been served.
He just said, he just knocked on my door and he just said, a notice from your landlord. And then he turned around and walked away.
Wow.
That's
cold.
Yeah. And I read it and I just had, I had a panic attack. I just started sobbing.
I don't blame you.
So I'm on the hunt for a new place to live, and I have 30 days to get out, which feels really rushed, but I'm going to make it work.
This is not the most uncommon situation for people. So for other people who have been or will be, without knowing it, in a similar situation, do you find any joy in, because you love this place very much.
Yeah.
It was like I know how tethered you were to this.
Yeah.
Is there any joy or excitement when you see listings or different things that you're like, oh, this could work?
For me, no, because it immediately becomes an anxiety situation where I'm like, is it still available? Could I even get it?
Right.
Then I get attached to it. Like
the atmosphere around it.
Yeah. Like I get really involved and I grow attached to it pretty quickly. And then it turns out, like today, Kathleen sent me this beautiful listing of this amazing apartment and I can't get it out of my head. And by the time I texted my broker, he was like, it's already gone. And that's the way it is in New York.
Right.
Like to get my apartment that I'm in now, I literally was in a car rushing down the highway and screeched up to the curb at 5 p.m. on the nose and thrust the papers into the landlord's hand.
Yeah.
And that's how I got it because I was like there faster than someone else.
Wow. Right?
So it's a race literally to get places. And so it's really stressful.
Yeah. The atmosphere is nerve wracking. Yeah. But I am going to be that person that other people hate and say that even if it's not listed right now, this incredible apartment, it's New York.
Yeah.
There are so many apartments per square block. Like, just math-wise, I wonder how many are in the area that you're sticking to. Like, this is, it's going to turn up. And I'm not taking away from the fact that it causes anxiety and stress. I totally get that. It's going to be
ending. We hope it turns up in the time period I have. It's not like I have a year to sort of and wait. Like, I have to make it happen. But
also, doesn't it feel like a fresh start?
It will once I know I have a place.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right now, it's just like a pile of stress.
Yeah. You're going to relax, cry.
Yeah, once
when it
I
happens,
have a place,
it's gonna be a real cleansing cry.
Yeah. I'll be excited once I have a place and I love it.
You get to pick wall colors and redecorate, maybe buy some new furniture.
I think I'm going to.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's and a new neighborhood to fall in love with, a new street to fall in love with.
Yeah,
you know.
And a place where I haven't made really bad choices.
There's
like,
always that.
I was in this apartment when I was in self-destruct mode, so I made some bad choices in this apartment.
Yeah.
Like I'm looking forward to a fresh place, like you know.
Can I come over and sage?
Will yeah. You add? Okay, I'll be great. Saging the hell out of it.
Okay,
yeah.
I have three assorted smells you can pick from, and I'll do the chants. Don't worry about
yeah.
it.
Yeah, we can ring bells. What I don't know how yes. you do it.
All right.
Sounds good. Yeah. Really hit the corners.
Ooh, okay. Can I bring my rain stick?
Yes, please. Oh my gosh, we're going to have the best.
I'm note to self, buy a rain stick.
This is exciting.
We'll Instagram live it as we sage and cleanse my new apartment.
That's a yes. great idea.
Okay.
Verbal contract is binding.
Verbal contract.
Okay, great. So as we try and hey, we're an acquired taste podcast.
Oh, hi, I'm so sorry.
I'm Sam.
I'm Kathleen.
I'm Bethany.
All right, well, got that over with. So as we go into what we are talking about this week, so I was talking to one of our listeners, Megan.
Hi, Megan.
And we love her. She's very sweet. She's been here forever, or as long as we've been here, I guess, which is 78 episodes. Look at that. And we were discussing things she would like to hear and would like to relate to, and she picked a really great topic, I feel like. Mistakes or incidences that happened in your life that felt like that at the time, but when you look back at it, is a really valued or a very educational experience.
I think that's a really good topic.
Right?
Yeah. I think that actually anything, any negative thing that you go through could turn into this, depending on how you look at it.
Definitely.
The butterfly effect.
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
You know the Ashton Kutcher movie?
I know of it. I never saw it. Does that mean Ashton Kutcher could come out of any situation?
It's this whole concept, but it's also an Ashton Kutcher movie.
It's the concept that changing even just the smallest thing, something as insignificant as you went to Starbucks this morning and got a turkey egg white sandwich for mm-hmm. breakfast or whatever. Mm-hmm. That one thing, if you changed it, if you went back and relived your life and didn't go to Starbucks and get that exact same sandwich at the exact same time, that it could change the outcome of the rest of your life.
Like so a butterfly flaps its wings in Nepal and it changes someone's life in New Jersey.
This
like that's
is
the theory.
Heavy. I yeah. gotta see this movie.
I believe in it 100%.
I do too. I do too.
Okay.
Sliding Doors was a similar movie that
yes.
I never saw.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That sounds more like a rom com to me.
Blonde Gwen, Brown
yeah.
Gwen.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like she misses a train or doesn't miss a train, and then it's what happens both either way, right?
I gotta write these down.
So, yeah, they're good. Okay. I mean, I haven't seen one of them, but anyway. Yeah, there's one. So when I was in college, I was in this relationship that was super abusive. Like, he kept me from my friends. He kept me from my family. Like, he was very, very controlling, and I was incredibly, like, I'm naive now, but I was incredibly naive when I was, you know, 22.
Right.
I didn't know what the hell I was doing. And so I totally fell under his spell. He made me feel really loved and wanted and everything, but he essentially slowed my progress as a human being for 3 years because that's how long we were together. And I just didn't.
Really?
I didn't
learn anything.
He had
such a
anything.
Lock on you.
Mm-hmm. I didn't date anybody because I was dating him exclusively.
Sure. Yeah.
So I missed, like, a big chunk of my formative learning how to date years.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it was like, it was a negative experience and it took me a long time to bounce back from that. But what happened is that he connected me to, I needed a therapist pretty badly at that time and I just didn't know
how to
find
yeah.
one, right?
Right.
Yeah. And he connected me to this person he knew who knew this other person who was the best therapist in that area for what it was that I was going through.
Oh.
And I ended up, excuse me, that was, did you hear that?
No, what
no.
happened?
Did you burp?
I've been drinking soda water, and so I just had like an internal like resettling of the juices.
Oh, it came up.
It was like a, So he connected me to this woman who ended up being my therapist for almost 10 years.
Oh my gosh, the video one, right? The one that
yeah.
you would video chat when you first came here?
Yeah, even when I moved here, she was my therapist, and she actually
wow.
saw me through the breakup of him. She got me out of when I worked at the bank. She helped me with that transition from the bank into
yeah,
radio.
Yeah.
Like, she saw me auditioning for my first radio job and hoping I would get it, all the way to moving to Texas with my ex, all the way to leaving Texas for my ex, all the way to, like, you know,
your
moving
ex.
To New York, all the way to breaking up with my ex.
Turning him into your ex.
She was such
wow.
a huge part of my life and, you know, probably saved my life on multiple occasions, and that was through him that I found her.
Wow.
So
holy balls.
So if he hadn't happened, butterfly effect,
yeah.
my life would be very, very, very different.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I love that.
Yeah. But it was a relatively small thing if you just look at it. Like, he did all these things, and yeah, I met so-and-so through him, but, like, whatever. But if you really think about the effect that she had on my life, it's huge. And I think that if you look back at mistakes, you will almost always find something that seems small that came out of it that actually really is a positive.
You can trace it back.
You can trace it back.
Wow.
Do you guys have one?
Spoke to you immediately because yeah. when we were discussing what we were going to talk about this week and this was brought up, you're like, got it.
Yeah.
Done.
Well, because I'm still on some level, there are little traumas that I still think of every day, mm-hmm. things that he did and that I'm, you know, and so I think about him literally every day.
Right.
And there are times that I'll talk to my mom or sisters and say, like, I cannot believe that I fell into that. That was such a bad situation. And they'll have to say, no, this came out of it. You know, like, mm-hmm. you found this woman through wow. him. Like, they have to remind me sometimes that that's a thing
beautiful.
That happened. Yeah. No, it's great.
Okay. I like that very much. You went real deep into the roots of
yeah,
this.
Yeah, I sure did.
That was awesome.
I'm a firm believer.
As you crack into as another crack in. Seltzer.
Yeah. Do you have one, Kathleen?
I do.
Awesome. What is it?
It all starts with a knob on an air conditioning.
Oh.
As most stories do.
Actually, it's the story of how I found my best friend.
Really?
Because... And it kind of starts with applying to colleges out of high school. And I was lazy. Yeah. Didn't have to do applications.
Right.
I applied to 3 schools, which compared to some of my friends, they were applying to like 15, 16, 17
oh,
schools.
Yes. Didn't that give you guys anxiety? My friends, what the hell?
I think I blocked it out. I don't remember.
I wanted nothing to do with that whole situation. Writing essays that were, I was like making up fake stories about how good of a person I was. I'm just a yeah. teenage girl. I read magazines and I yeah. think about boys. Like, yeah. It's not going to get me into college. I went to Rutgers because my father went to Rutgers.
Yeah.
And I applied early decision because I think it was like half of an essay instead of a full essay.
Right. decision.
And was put on a floor of a dorm where I met a group of people that I am actually no longer friends with, really.
Okay.
But one of those girls introduced me to my best friend now, who is my soul sister for life.
Aww.
And I didn't meet her until the end of my sophomore year, but this girl who was the connector said to Kristen, Kristen is my best friend, you're not going to like Kathleen.
Oh, that's lovely.
She takes the knob off of the air conditioner so we can't change the temperature, so it's always the temperature that she likes.
What a power move.
By the way, did you actually do that?
Yeah, no, I didn't actually do
you
that.
You didn't?
I mean, I would. I mean, it's not beneath me to play a power move like that.
Why would she make that up about you?
No, actually what happened was that there were multiple air conditioners in the house and that we were renting. It was like an off-campus house, and many of them were missing knobs, so I'd take knobs from ones to turn on others and then like
oh my God,
try and
that's so funny.
Yeah.
And anyway, Kristen sort of came into this knowing a little bit about my power moves. I mean, that kind of sums up my personality perfectly.
Love
that I'm
it,
taking
yeah.
the knob to keep the temperature the same.
Ice queen.
And that sort of bridged the, you know, the gap between Kristen and I. She kind of knew who I was. I kind of knew who she was, and our vibes just clicked right away. And
yeah.
I not had this like toxic friend who said horrible things about me. That is what would, you know, I never would have met my
fantastic.
Best friend.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. So now every time I like turn the dial on any air conditioner, I'm like,
aww.
My
friendship.
Best friendship.
That bitch.
Yeah.
Power
no,
move. I'm kidding. I'm sorry. That's horrible. My apologies.
Sam, what about you?
Mine is also romance related. And it's something that is, it, now the lesson branches further than just romance, but I think, and maybe everyone feels this way, but I think I puppy loved growing up harder than most people puppy love. Mm-hmm. Like I had 2 loves at that age where you can't really, you in all fairness, don't have the full interpretation of the word within yourself, so you
right.
can't really give it to someone else. But anyway, with everything I had a 3-year crush on one guy growing up. And when I realized we were in the same class in 8th grade, I started bawling. Like, I was so in love with this guy. And then my high school sweetheart, and I loved him so much. And his name is Nick. And any friend listening knows what's up because we're all... Sorry, Nick. Don't mean to put you on blast. We're on good terms now. It's great. But he had that reputation of never having a girlfriend. Like, he just didn't have a girlfriend. He dated women.
Yeah.
But at that age... it makes it so much easier to come up with an excuse or like a reason for separation. You don't actually have to break up with someone
yeah,
in high school
because you're just hanging out
and hooking up and dating or whatever.
Yeah.
So I was so smitten over this guy, and not that anything had happened to us. I just got stuck. I just got stuck in the net that was Nick.
Did you write his name in your notebook?
I wrote it on a chalk. I'll tell you seriously.
On a chalkboard. Were you naked?
We used to have, when we actually started dating, we had different classes at different times. Yeah. So we would write each other messages and then like move a book. So like,
that's really cute.
You'd have to find the other person's message.
That's like a damn
it was really
movie.
Sweet. I had I treasure my high school sweetheart days. But anyway, it was we had dated, and then of course it fell apart just like it had with any other girl he dated, and then he wanted to get back together, and I had never fallen out of quote unquote love with him. Mm-hmm. But I knew what was going to happen because history repeats itself, and the definition of insane is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result.
Right.
So I was crying on the couch to my mother, which I never did at that time. Like, I was a very self-serving teenager. And my mom, you know, said, what do you want to do? And I said, I want to be with him. Like, I really want to give this another shot. She says, what's going to happen? I said, he's going to hurt me. He's going to, maybe not intentionally, but he's going to leave me, or he might cheat on, I don't know. You know, mm-hmm. it's something bad's going to happen. And my mom just said, is it going to hurt worse for you to put logic ahead of it and walk away right now, knowing, playing the odds? Or is it going to hurt worse to try it again, get hurt that way, and then know your decision is behind you? Like, there's nothing to regret. And I actually sat there and thought, and I said, it's going to hurt less to get back together with him and be stepped on. She says, that's exactly what you have to do. And I thought that was really weird, because at that age, I felt like mothers gave different kinds of advice. I don't know, at least mine did. Like, she'd be like, sweetie, you know, he's not great for you. Don't do it. For her to say, do it, it's going to hurt, was something that stuck with me. And I did it, and it happened.
Yeah.
And I will never forget that moment, and I never regretted the decision. Like, it took me, I'm not even kidding, a year to get over it. Like, it hurt. But that has applied to me for so many other things. There are so many different situations where if you're a person like me, you can sit and say, am I making a spiteful decision out of odds and logic that I'm not happy with right now, but I'm preventing a problem later? Or should I just go into the situation and say, fuck it, and maybe get, you know, screwed over by someone or something? And then I knew. I made the decision that made me happy, and now I've learned and I'm good.
It's about, going in with your eyes open.
That was some damn good mothering.
Jeez.
Yeah, that's great advice.
She's a great job. It's come up, and I've even applied it. We have a coworker here who I told him the exact same story, and he made the same decision, got together with his ex.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
It was horrible.
Who is it?
And now he's happy that he made the decision.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, sometimes happens.
That coworker the other day said,
Oh,
my God. Do we need to cut that out?
Maybe.
Is that too much?
Maybe. Yeah, we had to cut that last bit out because
we gave discernible information.
Kathleen's giving out cookies. That's okay. It's gone. No one will ever know.
Or will they?
So in 2009, a series of three very strange coincidences happened to me.
Oh, I love coincidences.
And I can't remember what happened anymore. I just remember a series of three very strange coincidences happened, and now I can no longer recall what they are.
How are you going to go into this? You're so happy and smiley, and you're like, and I have no idea.
And I'm waiting for the day when it comes back to me. I just know that during a certain period of my life, I had graduated from college, I was looking for a job, and I was like, I had broken up with my husband just for like 4 months, and I was dating this guy, and three very strange things happened to me.
With relating to the guy?
No. Okay. Just like three different independent things, very strange coincidences happened to me, and I can no longer remember what they
were. That pushed you toward Neil or just in general?
No, you know what? I don't even know anymore. No. I just know that three very strange coincidences.
Do you think it was an alternate reality?
I used to be able to remember what they were.
You have to listen to this episode on loop in your sleep and hope that your subconscious dreams up the answer.
Isn't that fascinating how your brain is just like,
my brain cannot no longer remember what they were,
it's
but
like,
I know that it happened.
I know I have a really important memory attached to the song You Shook Me All Night Long. But I don't know what it is.
Oh, really? No.
From college. Something happened to that song in college that was fun and happy and like community oriented, but yeah. I don't know what it was. I have no idea. Every time I hear it, I get really happy and a memory is triggered, but the memory is like an empty file.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. This is so deep. What if we live in a universe where memories and thoughts and realizations are serving until you need it? And then beyond our power, once it's fulfilled, it's completed its journey, it evacuates Maybe. Our minds.
I think, Kathleen, it's going to happen another time and it'll be important.
I hope it's like mind shattering.
Yeah.
Like, and that you write it down.
Yeah.
I think those coincidences played a part in where I am today, I think.
Well, because that's why she went blonde.
Because I used to hold a significance behind them, because I used to think about them a lot. And I thought, I would say to people, wow, let me tell you about these three really strange coincidences that happened.
Do you remember who you told it to?
Nope.
Okay, what's going on? Is this a past life?
And I'll tell you, it was November of 2009, maybe. It was like in that time period.
This is so bizarre.
Okay, what we need to do is we need to track down people you told. Like, did you tell your mother? Did you tell Kristen? Did you tell...
Nobody that would ever remember what it was, because it didn't mean the same thing to anybody else.
This is going to bother me.
I mean,
this
Bethany's got a blank file. I've got blank files. What's your blank file, Sam?
Probably most of my life, honest to God, is a blank file. I just remember moments.
Well, they say, okay, well, like the Matrix says, if you're having deja vu, that means that the Matrix is up. But like coincidences or synchronicities, I believe that means that something important is happening, or you're getting an important message about something,
yeah.
and it's drawing your attention to it. And so I wonder what
I have no
you
idea
were
anymore.
Getting a message about.
Do you guys get deja vu a lot?
Not as much as I used to, actually.
Maybe once every couple months.
But isn't it weird when you get deja vu?
Yeah.
I did. Someone told me once, and I have no prior research on it, that deja vu is an experience where you're, you know how you have short-term memory and long-term memory?
Yeah.
Where something in short-term memory is immediately getting connected and filed into a long-term memory thing. And that's what gives you the moment of like, that's so Raven. Like that moment you experience during deja vu. It's
what?
Because your memory filings on like acid or whatever.
I see. I just assumed it was alternate realities.
It might be that. Maybe they're wrong.
You guys heard of the Berenstain-Bear effect?
No. What's that?
I'm obsessed with this.
Based off of the books?
Yeah. So growing up, you read the Berenstain Bears, right?
Yeah.
Or did you read the Berenstain Bears?
Berenstain Bears.
Oh, I know this effect.
What?
You think it's one thing, but it's the other. I would always think it was the Berenstain Bears.
You thought they were a nice Jewish bear family.
Okay, so it's this. My family is so sick of me talking about this because I'm obsessed with it. So there is a significant portion of the population who remembers growing up and reading the Berenstain Bears, S-T-E-I-N. I remember looking at the covers of the books and tracing my fingers over the E in Stein. But if you go back and look at the books, they're all Stain, S-T-A-I-N,
what?
Berenstain.
What?
Look it up on Google right now. There is no way growing up that if it was spelled S-T-A-I-N, we would have pronounced it Stein. We would have pronounced it Stain.
Yeah, but we all said the Berenstain Bears.
But we all said the Berenstain Bears. So the theory is that there are two alternate realities, one in which they were Berenstain, one in which they were Berenstain. And at some point, the Berenstain Bear reality crossed over into ours. And so now we're in the alternate Berenstain reality.
What's happening?
It's also called the Mandela effect.
Oh my God.
Because there's a portion of the population who remembers the news reporting that Nelson Mandela died in prison, which he did not.
Huh.
Wait, so if I have these books at my house still?
Check the cover.
Okay.
It'll say Stain.
My mom might have... Wait, but it's supposed to be Stain.
It's Stain.
But you remember Stain.
No, yes, it's the Berenstain Bears.
But it's spelled
Berenstain.
Stain.
Berenstain Bears.
Okay.
That's insane.
Something's not right.
That's not right.
This is...
The publishers flipped the name.
Yeah, but did they come in my house and change it?
Go have
I'm
your
going
mom text
to.
A picture.
I'm gonna go,
what do those pictures say?
They say... The Berenstain Bears go to school. The Berenstain Bears go to the doctor. The Berenstain Bears in the messy room and junk food. Oh, I remember that one.
Can you imagine being the author of these, or at least like the editor, and you keep saying, oh yeah, well, I'm working on this series, The Berenstain Bears, and someone would always be like, no, you mean Berenstain.
I don't know what's
so
happening.
Annoyed. This is so annoyed.
Beyond my comprehension.
Yeah, so anyway, I love that stuff. Makes me happy.
Oh, this is so much deeper than I was ready for.
There was another one with...
Give me my coffee. I'm running on low. Thank you.
Who are the Douglas actors? Michael Douglas. Who's his dad?
Kurt Douglas.
There's another one about him. Hold on.
Him in particular. Okay. Not heard of this.
Yeah, there's a portion of the population that remembers news that Kirk Douglas died. But he didn't.
Huh. Okay.
They remember the news coming on saying Kirk Douglas is dead, but he wasn't dead. There are people who remember hearing that Nelson Mandela died in prison, but he didn't. God.
Okay. Well, now I just feel like there are two universes going on simultaneously.
There's millions of them.
And no, but like right on top of each other. Like think of Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Like exactly. Yeah. But there's like holes. They're leaking over.
Yeah.
I swear to God, no spoilers. Never mind. I'm not gonna say what I was about to say.
But that's like when you see a stranger somewhere and you look at that stranger and you know you feel that electricity, that like instant connection. And it doesn't have to be like of the sex that you're attracted to. It can be like, you know, really anybody, mm-hmm. any age, and you just feel like, do I know this person?
Uh-huh.
Where the stories where the kids recall full accounts of like how they died as adults and like history,
love it.
Whatever.
It's so great. It's so great. Fall into the wormhole of the Mandela effect if you're at work and you're bored. It's pretty wonderful.
I'm going to go do some reading on this.
Yeah.
I love
it's
this.
It's great. It's so great.
I have to say one thing, and I can't get this thought out of my head. I want to go back. And I just want to say, Nick didn't cheat on me.
Okay.
I heard myself say that. I'm like, oh my God. Like, it sounds like I said, that's not what I meant. It was just my fear I was considering getting back together. He's lovely. We're in good terms. Fun story. I live here in Jersey City and he works on Disney Cruise Lines, which is amazing. So I saw someone in the distance like 2 years ago that looked like him on my street corner. I'm like, oh my God, that's so weird. It looks just like Nick. And I kept walking and I heard, Sammy Cop? I turned around, it was him, and we freaked out. Yeah, he was visiting, he was in town just for that day visiting one of his close friends who also lives in Jersey City, and then he was going right back to work for the cruise or something.
No, this is that Christmas song where you see him in the supermarket and then you have an affair.
Yeah, it was exactly that, except instead of affairs, it was like bro, dude, and some embarrassing stories.
Oh,
I love that song.
You didn't kiss his face?
No, but his friend did message me and like start trying to talk to me later. That was weird.
Oh.
Right?
From the Disney cruise?
No, just his friend who lived in my area.
Oh, his friend isn't also on the Disney cruise?
No, his friend was a Jersey Citian.
He probably was like, hey, bro, you won't believe what happened. Bumped into my ex-girlfriend.
You gotta check this girl out.
She's
no,
single.
He was there when we ran into each other. Bridge the gap. Sorry,
he's sliding in here, DMs with his pants off.
I never knew that was a musical.
Yeah.
I always read that as words.
Yeah, ooh. No, Sondheim.
Sliding into your DMs with his pants
now
off.
I'm going to sing it in every meme I see it on.
Sliding into your DM with my pants down. Can we do quick credits corner really quickly?
Absolutely.
Credits corner. So I talked about, I gave that advice like several episodes ago where talking about what do I need? How, like, what do I feel?
Yes.
What do I need?
Yes.
How, like, if you're super stressed out.
Big
and
moment.
I never give credit to the person who taught me that. And that was our friend Dan Mason, who talked to us in Santa Fe. He's, like, this incredible, like, I hate to say life coach because I always roll my eyes at life coach because I just think it's, like, a little
There's
frou-frou.
There's, like, a stigma, kind of.
Yeah. But he's just this incredible, like, counselor, yes, life coach. If you're like in a rut in your life or you're panicked or you want to be in a different job or you want to make a change and you kind of feel stagnant and you don't know how to do it, he's just an incredible, incredible resource. His name is Dan Mason. And I think his website is Creative Soul Coaching. I want to make sure that's right. Because
we've all spoken to him for a short period of time. He came to speak to the show and he just... Jeez, every word out of this man was not BS. It was insightful and believable and also smart.
Yeah.
It's like he wasn't talking at you or like real, whatever. You'll connect with him. He's really hard not to connect with.
He's amazing. CreativeSoulCoaching.net is his website. And again, his name is Dan Mason. He's not paying me to say this, but he's just brilliant. And I wanted to make sure he got credit for everything. Also, make sure you check out my web series. Go to labeledseries.com. Episode 3 will come out middle of August.
Hell yeah.
Make sure to watch Date Night Live every Thursday night live at 10 o'clock on Lifetime East Coast.
You were so badass. Thanks. On Lifetime on Date Night Live.
Thank you.
It was very exciting.
And you're going to figure out how to film it again, right? You had one job other than your actual job.
Forgot to DVR.
You were supposed to DVR it for me.
It's on the website. If you missed the premiere.
It replayed over the weekend, too.
Okay, awesome.
Someone tell me these things.
Yeah, it's on their website. The full episode is on their website, I do believe. It's on Lifetime.
Watch it?
Well, I listened to this podcast, so now, I was in bed so quick. I was in bed on the path.
Okay, let's be real. You were drunk because we were drinking that night before Bethany went on TV.
I was a little drunk, but that's also...
Anyway.
Whatever.
Should we go around and say what we learned this week?
Oh.
Kathleen, what'd you learn this week?
Okay, guys, so I'm going to go see my eye doctor today, and I think he's like super hot.
Oh, okay. Where do you go? Who is he?
He's in New Jersey. And I don't want to give out his name because I keep making excuses to go get my eyes checked.
Well, now you're being selfish.
I'm like, these contacts are not fitting me correctly.
Can you put them in with your mouth?
The first time that I went to go see him, we had this like really lovely conversation about Italy, and it was like a very romantic conversation. And the second time I went
then
to see him,
he touched my cornea.
Yeah. The second time I went to see him, he was like a little bit rushed, and I was like, man, that was so not satisfying.
No,
like, pay more attention to me.
So you need to go another time.
So I'm going again today.
I just want you to come back with a bedazzled eye patch.
But he told me something very interesting. Guys, I was very lazy for a long time and would use my contacts longer than suggested.
Yeah.
And he can see the effects in my eyeballs.
Get out.
You think that you're playing a game, but you're not. And he... You think you're going to get away with it, but you aren't.
You think you're playing a game, but you are not.
The only person you're tricking is yourself.
Kathleen thinks she's playing a game.
I used to wear the AccuView for 2 weeks, and you toss them. Except, like, I would wear them for, like, 3 days, and then, like, maybe put them back into my contact case for, like, another month, and then, like, wear them for another 3 days. So I did this because I didn't have a prescription, and I didn't want to pay to go to the eye doctor. I was running out of contacts, so I was trying to distribute.
Yes.
And I gave myself calluses underneath my eyelids.
I'm sorry. I just pushed Kathleen away from the mic.
Isn't that disgusting? So and I broke some vessels in my eyes because like wearing them for too long or overextended periods of time is like essentially putting sandpaper on your eyeball.
So wait a minute. What did he say are your tangible effects from this? Because you didn't know you had them.
Yeah.
What were you feeling or experiencing?
Well, now I notice I wear my glasses a lot more because no matter, even if I'm putting a fresh contact into my eye, it still is a little bit irritating. But I can see, like, if you look very, very closely, broken vessels in my eyes that weren't there before.
I know. That's just
fascinating.
So please, as it like a PSA to anybody who wears contacts, also upgrade to the daily contacts. Because I was wearing the 2 week ones, and he goes, how long has it been since you got a eye contact prescription? And I said, I don't know, just give me the 2 weeks again, I don't like change. And he goes, let me explain this to you in terms that you're going to understand. 2 week contacts are like flip phones, and the 1 day contact is an iPhone. Do you understand now?
And were you watching his mouth the entire time?
Yes,
you
I was
to.
Oh my god, he's so delicious.
Or just be super super on top of your game, because I do know, because my sister's trying to get my parents to do that, they are more expensive. Like,
they are more expensive.
More expensive.
But they're so much better for your eyes.
Yeah, but so if you do have the 2 week ones, stay on that and keep them to 2 weeks.
Yeah, like really don't wear them more than 2 weeks.
Kathleen told us this is not a game.
Because you will develop calluses underneath your eyelids.
I would wear those for months.
I tried to play like I wasn't.
Oh, and, yeah, they know.
So he looked at my eye and he goes, so.
Yes.
So how about you guys? What did you learn this week?
Sam?
I didn't learn anything. What I want to do is I want to know if people can teach me this. So I have sugar. And then if it's too much, because there's really no medium for me. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no such thing as eating half a pack of M&Ms.
Yeah.
I will down that whole thing, probably get a second bag,
yep.
and feel nauseous somewhere down on the bottom third of the second.
Yeah.
Whatever. So I feel like I get sugar rushes.
Yeah.
I was told by my boyfriend, who's someone that I would trust with my life in any other regard that sugar rushes are not a real thing. Now, he's a very smart guy, and I'll ask him things regularly, and he'll say, I don't know. Like, he's not a know-it-all.
Yeah.
He doesn't feel like he needs to give you the wrong answer. He reads like crazy. He's constantly giving me... He's a very educated person. What the f***?
Well, he has a very interesting diet, so maybe sugar rushes are not a thing for him.
For him, right? Yeah. Just for him. Like the article said, like comma, Bill.
Like a low-grade alcoholic.
He said there, he explained it to me, and the explanation went right over my head. I just got the point of the message. She's like, yeah, the way it really works is that there's no such thing as an actual sugar rush that affects you. I don't believe him. Mm-hmm.
The Google says that he is correct.
No! What?
I would pay for a panel of nutritionists to debate this.
First of all, the picture they use in this article is so funny. It's a little girl holding those two oversized lollipops, but she looks like she's going to murder you. This is health.spectator.co.uk.
Oh my God.
They say... Parents won't believe me, but sugar rush is a myth. Sugar does not drive children insane. It has hardly any effect on their behavior at all. And they spell behavior with a U, of course, because they're British.
Behavior. I don't understand. Because I'll forget that I had it, and then 20 minutes later, I'll be like, why is my heart all jumpy, and why am I fidgety? Oh, that's right, I ate all that candy. Like,
and then you want more, because it triggers you to consume more sugar, more sugar, more sugar.
Usually
more
I pass
sugar.
Out first. I just crash. Huh. It's so weird. My body does not want to believe any of that. He's like, no, it's psychosomatic. You're convincing yourself you're feeling differently, and thus you think it's because of the sugar.
And you know what? It makes sense, though, because if you think about children, if kids get a quote-unquote sugar rush,
yeah.
It's because they're eating more sweet foods than normal, correct?
Yeah.
Well, they're probably just excited that they're eating more sweet foods than normal.
Nope, I don't believe it.
And they're in a situation where, like a party or wherever, where fun things are happening. And that's what's causing the hyperactivity.
I'm so mad. I'm really actually angry.
Crazy?
I wish I had kids so I could experiment.
Just give it to your cat.
Give them a bunch of sugar in a dark room and see what happens.
Yes. Give cat lean sugar cubes.
I will.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should have children so you can experiment on them.
Yes. All the experiments.
Yeah, this kids are for science.
I heard about this really good one for children where you pretend one's a prison guard and one's a prisoner. That's a... something I can't wait to try.
Yeah, call back to our
children's
unethical scientific studies episode, which is awesome.
Yeah. Sorry, you said kids are for science, and I had to Google it because I thought it sounded like a .com. It doesn't exist.
There isn't kidsareforscience.com?
No, but there should be.
Buy it. I wonder how much it costs.
Yeah, kids are for science.
Website prices are based on a sliding scale of how popular the website would be. Like, I wanted to buy itscancer.com because I just, like, I thought that it would be funny to hack into WebMD and have it redirect to itscancer.com because everything you look up on WebMD is cancer.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
It's like $1,000 or something to buy that domain.
Oh, that's seriously. Like chill change compared to something like cats.com.
That's true.
Cats.com. Yeah, I'm sure someone already owns cats.com.
Bethany, what did you learn this week?
I learned truly that if you are an animal person, your house is not complete without an animal because this week sucked.
Yeah.
And I would come home and I didn't want to be home because I didn't want to be in my apartment anymore because it was a constant reminder of like, this is not my home anymore. But having these two little kittens who don't know, they don't care that bad things are happening. All they know is that they love wet food. And as I told my family, I am their Beatles. Like, they think I am the biggest deal ever. They think I'm amazing. They follow me everywhere. If they could scream and faint, they would. Like, having these two little creatures who all they want to do is be around you and love you is the best thing ever. And, you know, I'll be hunched over my computer trying to file all this paperwork and make things happen. And I'll suddenly feel 4 pounds leap onto my back and then just sit there. And it's the best. So if you are an animal person, if you can make it happen, make it happen. If you know you can't because you know that you're not going to be around or you know you don't have the resources, then thank you for not.
Yeah. Because you don't want to end up in a situation where you're not taking care of them properly.
Right. Thomas Sam.
Sometimes I pick up Loki and I just hug him and cry because I know that somebody pushed him out of their car.
Oh.
Because and left him on the streets in New Jersey. Someone, He is like a little quiet, shy, little lovey boy. Aww. He just wants to cuddle. He looks at you and then he bends his head down so you'll kiss the top of his head because he just wants kisses. And somebody pushed him out of their car.
I love your Instagram account for it's actually both of your cats, but it's named after Minerva.
I wanted to rally to change the name. It has to be both of them. Where's Loki's account?
He piggybacks off of Minerva's.
I wanted to say parentheses featuring Loki on the title.
He's like
it.
In her. He's like in the bio. I just can't be someone who has two catstas.
I know. You just.
I'm trying to think of a celebrity who the girl is really famous and then her husband piggybacks. I can only think of Fergie and Josh Duhamel.
Yeah.
I love Josh Duhamel.
For a while, it was Reese Witherspoon and Ryan Phillippe, although he's doing cool stuff now.
He's got a new TV show. But Reese is infinitely cooler than he'll ever be. So,
you know.
Take that, Ryan.
Can I make a quick confession?
Yes.
Bethany, I kicked one of your cats accidentally.
What?
The cone. I didn't know the cone was right there.
Aww.
I didn't account for cat cone. I turned around and I hit Minerva's cone.
Aww.
And she got so scared. Aww. And then I sat on the floor to like let her not be afraid of this towering human. Bethany was in the bathroom. So if you heard a, that was me.
Oh.
That was why.
I
kicked a cat in the cone. And then I sat down on the floor because I didn't want her to be I was like, okay, if I were her, I'd be threatened by the towering. Listen, a cat is the only thing I could be towering over. I'm 5'3", but I'm like, let me sit down on the floor. And seconds later, because she saw, I think I was completely relaxed, she started coming over and then she jumped on my lap.
They're very forgiving.
Almost made me cry because I was like, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. So that's, I had to get that off my chest. It's okay.
Does your kitty still have a cone?
No, she got the cone off.
Can you imagine being a human with a cone?
Should we try this?
It's got to be maddening.
I think we put one on the big show on Grape Tea once.
We should. The cone of shame because your peripheral vision sucks.
Yeah.
It's
hard to move around.
You can't move your paw to your mouth.
Sounds like good for eating though. Like I would just shovel as a shovel and turn up.
You have like rashes around your neck because your food's just sitting there.
Oh, she's filthy. I gave her a bath and I still can't get her clean because
How'd that go? How'd the bath go? Cat in a bath.
I put on my Snapchat.
Oh, baby.
She's white. I cannot get her chest. I can't get the brown out because
bleach.
All of her food dipped down.
The type of bleach they use for anal bleaching? It's got to be safe on pets.
Safe, right?
Right? If it could go near my sphincter.
Probably safe.
It's got to be safe for the cats.
Safe for the cats. I'll do a Google.
Can we do a horrible segue from that?
Yeah.
Just wanted to thank Jessica. This is like, I'm sorry to Jessica. This is an offensive segue. I just talked about my sphincter. So Jessica just messaged and said, I love you guys. An Acquired Taste podcast has inspired me to do something I've always dreamed and never thought I could do. I just wanted you all to know how much of a difference you make in my life. And for that, here's a picture of my puppy, which expired.
What is she doing that she's never gonna?
I know, right? It was a cliffhanger. Like,
wait,
what
she
are
didn't
you
tell
doing?
Us.
She didn't. I'm like, can you break it down,
hell? Jessica?
And she said, "You helped me realize I shouldn't be afraid of what people think and just go for my goals. I've wanted to start my own YouTube channel for some time now, but was afraid of what people thought. I binge listens, and you guys are so fun and uplifting and inspiring.
Good.
She didn't tell me what the channel is, so I can't plug her. So feel free to message me back, girl.
That's awesome, though. Good for you.
But that's heartwarming.
Do your thing, girl. That's amazing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Jeez.
All right, everybody. Follow us on our social medias. We're on Twitter at Acquired Podcast.
And Instagram, Acquired Taste Podcast.
And we have a website.
AcquiredTastePodcast.com.
Yep.
Listen on iTunes. Rate us 5 stars, please.
Oh, the comments on iTunes are so nice, guys. When I read them, I go... like the
Three
most annoying noise
everyone.
Comes out of my body.
That's your most annoying noise? Spend more time with me.
Well, we can have a standoff on that.
We're also on iHeartRadio.
Yes.
Thank you so much for listening in iTunes. Yeah, you guys are the best.
And give us feedback. Let us know what you want to talk about because that's what we're here for. We want to connect with each other, but we also want to connect with you.
Yes.
So thank you to all those who tell us how they feel and what they want to hear and what they need to work through.
Yes.
We love you very much.